Blog Talk Radio.
Girl Tay, and I got a special guest tonight that's going to be on air with me here in just a moment. And I just want to say that she is doing great things in her area. She's an author. She got a new book coming out. She's going to tell us all about it. And her name is Simone Allen, and she's going to come on here. She's going to talk some sports. We're going to talk about her book. She's going to tell you where you can get her book, where you can reach her at, where you can talk to her at, all that great jazz. All right, and also tonight, we also are going to give away $100 to whoever can guess the answer to the trivia question. Now, last week, nobody got the answer right, and I gave the answer out. So it's doubled this week. Each week is going to double, and the money is courtesy of our sponsor, All Hair Is Pretty. So if the jackpot keep rising, just like the lotto out there, somebody gonna go home real happy. All right, so we're just gonna go ahead and get our girl on the line so we can talk to her. All right, Miss Simone Allen, you hear me? You're live.
Yeah. Hey.
Good to have you on. Go ahead and tell the people, you know, about your name and all that stuff, where you're from, and we can go ahead and get started.
Awesome. My name is Simone Allen. I am from the south side of Chicago. I was born and raised there. I lived there until about 2013 when I moved to Virginia for about 3 years, and then I moved here to Carrollton about 8 months ago.
Okay. Carrollton. All right. So let me ask you this. So since you're from the Chi, are you a Bulls fan?
Of course. I don't know anybody that's from the Chi and raised in the Chi who is not a Bulls. Pretty
okay.
Hard to find one of those people.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because, you know, last week we had a young lady on. She was from the Chi too. And, you know, she said she
was
all
sister.
Chicago, everything. Your sister, okay.
Yeah, that's my older sister. So, yeah. We're
your older sister.
Chicago fan. Yeah.
Okay, so you diehard. I'm diehard. Parts of Chicago, you know, that's my second home, as I told your sister last week, you know. I love the Bulls. I don't like the Bears. Cowboys fan till I die. I like the Sky.
Okay, so I like the Bulls. The Bears,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really know football, so by default, I root for the Bears by default. But if I had to pick a team, I don't even know who my team would be. It would be the dude with the quarterback with the long, pretty hair that be in the shampoo commercials, whatever team he's playing for, that's my team. I don't know who he is.
Well, you were talking about Clay Matthews, and he plays for the Green Bay Packers.
That's
who I know about. He got the long, pretty hair.
Yeah.
Yep, so we just going to go ahead. And so tell me about, you know, how you get into, you know, your business and, you know, and how you got to writing your own book. Tell us about that.
Okay. So, yeah, I think I've always been an entrepreneur, like, because of the way my mom raised us. We've always had, like, candy stores and, you know, just different things, learning how to, you know, sell products and stuff. So I kind of always been an entrepreneur. I started my first business, the college, which was going to be a nonprofit. I started that when I was about 20. It didn't work out. Then I started Mind Visionaries in 2014 when I moved to Virginia. That worked out somewhat, but I had to put it on hold. And then I started writing how to take a selfie 2 years ago almost. It's about to be 2 years in May is when I started the process when the Lord was like, okay, I need you to write this book. However, I don't always follow directions. So it was a process.
Uh-huh.
Like, I could only write after I worshiped him. Like, it's really his book. Like, my name is going on there, but it really was written by God.
Okay.
Like, I had to, it only came out when I was after I praised him. And so it's been a 2-year journey writing this book. And when I thought it was done, I had to go back and re-edit stuff because I had matured more. And, you know, it was a journey, and it was fun, and it was painful, and it was everything that requires growth was that journey. So, yeah, that's when I started writing the book, How to Take a Selfie, about 2 years ago.
How to Take a Selfie. Now, I've been taking selfies for a few years now. So is this an instructional book on how I should take my selfie better? You know, help me out here.
It's actually a book about self-love and self-reflection. It's written for millennials. It's in our language. You know, we're weird. We're different. And so it's written for us and the youth on just how to grow and how to love yourself, because there was a time when I did not love myself. There was a time when I tell you I avoided mirrors like I was a vampire, I really did. Like, I just could not stand my reflection because I had heard I was ugly growing up, you know, that I was a different sister. And so it took a long time for me to kind of love myself, and that was only through accepting the love of God for me where I began to be healed. And so that's where this book came from, because I was like, well, I need to point to other women and other youth who are going through this, who are told that they're too different and that they're unlovable and all of these mean things that society tries to tell us with their beauty standards, which isn't true. And, you know, when you learn that God loves you no matter what, through your stretch marks, through whatever you have, he loves you regardless, that's powerful. Love changes the world. And so that's what the book is about. It's just about accepting his love for you and, you know, loving yourself. Because once you love yourself, then you're capable of loving other people. So it's actually not about taking the actual picture, but just self-reflection on yourself.
You definitely are. Now, one thing that really kind of hit home for me, what you just said, is that, you know, people told you that you were ugly coming up, you know. And, you know, I had the same thing. You know, people would say that to me. And also a lot of other mean things. And, you know, I've noticed that as us, as being black women, that a lot of people say that about us, because they say, oh, you too dark, or you too light, or things like that. And, you know, sometimes to a person, it can be damaging to their, like you said, your self-esteem, how you feel emotionally, how you interact with other people, you know, how your relationships are with, you know, people around you, you know. And I've seen that coming up in my own eyes. And I'm like, man, this really, you know, if you're not mentally tough, you know, even the toughest person, it can eventually get to them. You know, everybody has
that
breaking point. And, you know, it's like, dang, why can't we just spread love to everybody? You know, everybody's differently, but why should I go around and tell this young lady or this young man here, hey, you're ugly? Because you don't know what that person is going through, you know. You just don't. And that could just take them right over the edge. They could just go home and, you know, do something ridiculous because you told them, hey, you're ugly. You know, so that hit home with me, because coming up for me, I had that same issue. But for me, I was able to overcome it. So, ladies and gentlemen, you see, it's just not me. She's had it happen to her, and I'm pretty sure it's somebody who's listening to us right now who's had that happen to them.
Yes.
And so this book is going to help somebody. So,
when you was writing this book,
did you put, like, your own personal, I guess, stories in there to kind of encourage somebody? Or was this just, you know, like, you know, how did you get to formulate the stories to help people in this book?
Oh, it's a bare book. There is no fences in this book when it comes to me sharing the testimonies of what God has brought me through, because that becomes a problem a lot. When we go through things, we don't want to share our skeletons. We want to bury them. But we forget that that's what helps other people, especially those who want to get closer to Christ. They need to hear about that nitty-gritty stuff so they don't feel like they're the only one. So I talk about a lot of stuff, and I bury it all. And it was hard sometimes when I'm writing it. I would be literally crying because I was like, I don't want to share this shade of me. And the Lord be like, I need you to, because it ain't about you. It's not about me. It's about others who are going through that, who feel alone, because you're not alone. Like, I know you feel like you're the only one going through your situation, But I promise you, there's someone else who's going through a similar situation, and all you need to do is hear that you will be okay. I promise you, no matter what you're going through, and I know that sounds taboo, but it's the truth, you will be okay. You don't feel like it, but you just got to keep going. So in the book, I talk about very deep stuff. I talk about surviving domestic violence, you know, because I am a domestic violence survivor, and I created a kid with this person. So I still have to deal with him, and I talk about that process of forgiveness and how, man, some days feel, I'm like, I don't think I can work with you. I need to take a break because I'm trying to be a Christian, and you asking for nothing. So just being honest, like, there are times where it's still a struggle, you know. When I sit there and think about all the things that I've been through, I rejoice in the Lord because I'm like, dang, that was some pretty tough stuff. So in the book, it is a very tell-all story about my life and things that I've been through and how Christ turns that those ashes into beauty.
So you blossomed over that time. And a thing that you said, you know, it's what, ladies, I know some of you out there who listen just heard what she said. She created a child with someone who was abusive towards her. And she said a key word that a lot of us need, including myself, forgiveness. Forgiveness for some people is a hard thing to give. You know, and genuinely give, because you can say you forgive somebody, but in the back of your mind, you're still
not forgive,
you know,
them.
Not forgive them. And hey, that's something that I'm still working on with some situations. You know, I'm guilty myself. So, you know, with that one, I want to jump on that forgiveness. How did you learn to forgive in that situation so y'all can co-parent?
Oh, okay. So, it starts with the Lord. And when I say it has been a process, it definitely has been a process. But I knew I was maturing when he would say things and I would pray for him. I think that's when I learned that I was actually forgiving him. When he would say negative things and call me out my name. Because even though we have a child together, I'm basically our single parent. He's doing better, but I provide for her. She lives with me. They're not really that close, you know. When he would call me on my name and his family would drag me through the mud and say all horrible things about me for simply being a parent who cares for the child, it became a point where when I gave it to God, when he one time cussed me out and I prayed in tongues. And I'm not making this up. He was dragging me through the mud because I wanted to take her overseas. I got my kid's passport last year and we were going to go to Africa, but I needed his permission to take her to get the passport because he's on her birth certificate. And because he was jealous, you know, because he was jealous, and he admitted this, he was jealous that I was able to do that for her, he started calling me all kinds of names. And I promise you, I took a moment because I was crying because I couldn't believe how you're talking to me. And then I started to speak in tongues. And the Holy Spirit shut him down. So the next day when I was praying for him again with the whole prayer circle, he called me during the middle of that prayer about 10 times. Until I answered and he said, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. I don't know what overcame me, but I need to tell you I'm sorry. That is the power of Jesus, and that is the power of forgiveness. When you know you're on the path of forgiveness is when you can turn around and be like, you know what, you may be ugly, but that's not going to change my character, and I'm going to pray for you regardless because I love you too much to let you keep going down this road. I'm going to stop this and hit you with some prayer because the Lord moves mountains, and nothing you said to me matters. And so it really did start with the Lord and, you know, the self-reflection of myself. And that's when I was, you know, as I was maturing in him, the things that people started to do to me didn't bother me as much as they used to because I'm just like, you don't know no better. It's almost when you look at a kid and they do something they don't mean to do, like they break a glass or something, but you can't really be mad at them because they're a kid. It's going to be like that, like, you don't know no better. You don't know no better. You're a child. You don't know any better. So I'm going to pray for you and I'll let the Lord teach you. And that's how it came about.
See, ladies, that right there is an awesome testimony, you know, in tongues, too. Wow.
In tongues.
I don't got nothing to say right there, but we'll go ahead and take this call real quick, this caller. Let's see what he got to say to us. Last 40318, you on the air with Tay. Talk to me.
Hey, what's up, Tay? It's Damien.
Hey, what's going on, Damien? I'm glad you called on the show. We got a special guest on the line tonight. You got any questions for her about her book, How to Take a Selfie, or anything? You know, you can ask her anything, man.
I just want to say I like the meaning behind the title of the book. At first, I thought what Tay was thinking is how to take a selfie, certain guidelines. But I love the meaning behind the title. One thing I want to ask is when forgiveness. What's the main key you go about when it comes to like forgiveness, like so you can get forgive that person quickly.
I think the first thing you need to do is surrender it to God immediately. Don't let it marinate because, we like to let stuff marinate where we got to think about it and process it, and it's okay to process it. But open your mouth and be like, God, I can't handle this, and tell him how you feel about it so that he can begin that work. Like, don't try to hold it in. So that would be the very first step, I think, to forgiving somebody. And then understanding it's okay to be back and forth. It's okay to feel like you're fine with them the one day, and the next day you have all these ill feelings. That's a part of the journey. So you don't have to feel ashamed for that either.
Oh, yeah. You can use that one, see. Like I said, I need that. I needed that stuff. Oh, yeah. She's speaking to me right now,
Yeah, we all need that time to time.
And then, she's all Chicago everything, She's a Bulls fan, we in the playoffs. We A-free, which I don't, I didn't think that we should deserve to make it, but we in the eighth and we got to play the Celtics. I want to ask you this, damn, it's going to sprinkle this in there, You think we got a chance versus the Celtics?
I'm going to be honest, if the Wayne Wade is,
go ahead.
Honestly, if Dwayne Wade is healthy and Jimmy Butler is playing the way he is, yeah, you guys definitely have a chance.
I like your enthusiasm. I hope we do give them a series and don't just roll over. I don't like our coach, but I love my team. I want us to fight. Like in football, you're one and done, Like my Cowboys, but that's another topic for another day. But thank you so much for that. You got any other questions for our guest tonight, Dane?
No, not really.
Okay, I'm going to give you a chance real quick. I don't usually don't do this. I'm going to go ahead and let you guess the trivia answer for the night. You got one guess. All right. And so the jackpot has, is doubled. It's $100 this week. So the question is this. Who has the most losses ever in the NBA Finals?
Like the team?
Player.
Player. Who has the most losses as a player? Wow. Who has the most losses in NBA history? I don't even know. I can't even think of anyone.
All right, man. Good try. I'll give the answer at the end of the show if nobody guesses it. But, good try, though. We'll hopefully somebody else win. If not, another $50 added next week. All right? Thanks so much for supporting the game. I hope you have a great day, man. Stay safe out there.
Have a good night, y'all.
All right.
You too. Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Dane. He's a very avid supporter of Sports Elite. So let's get back into what we're going to do. All right, so now that we talked about the forgiveness of the book, now what avenue did you go to get it published? Like, is it a certain person that came to you like, hey, I'm going to publish this book, or did you have to actually go out there, knock down some doors to get publishers to distribute this book?
Oh, no, it was actually easy. When I tell you the Lord wants you to do something, just do it because he's going to open these doors. I actually found my publisher on Instagram. I'm not lying. I make a lot of my connections on Instagram. And there was a girl, Erica Diaz. She has Erica's Table of 20. What's up, Erica, in Atlanta? And she published this book called Face It Until You Make It. And I was like, wait a minute now. I like this. I'm all about that faith, And so I was like, when you're writing a book, you naturally start looking at people, publishers whose brand matches your brand just to see, what requirements they have. And I found two that I liked. And so I contacted them and told them I wanted to submit my manuscript. I submitted it to one of the other text manuscripts. After meeting with the first one, I just knew it wasn't right because they just seemed to be all about the money. Like, they didn't read my chapters or ask for my chapters or anything. So I knew, you're not the publisher for me. And so the second person I talked to, which is November Media. That's who's publishing my book, with Tahisha. She is amazing. You know, we had a meeting on the phone. She's actually in Chicago. So she's from Chicago. So
hey, shut down.
And she actually read my chapter herself. Not her assistant, but she did. And she was like, I love this. I love how encouraging you are to your readers. I want to publish your book. And we went from there.
Wow. So that means, you know, if I decide to write a book on, you know, on my little sports stuff, I got to connect right there to go to, huh?
Yeah, you got to connect. Yeah.
I got to connect. Okay.
So it ended up being Erica Publisher, too. So, yeah, it's amazing.
Hey, that's, hey, win-win right there, huh? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say, you know, you make a lot of your connections on Instagram, you know, I found it to be true for myself. You know, because a lot of people I found on Instagram and also on Twitter. You know, people say, oh, Twitter's dead. Man, I wouldn't, some of these people that, you know, like guests and a lot of people that I had on my show, you wouldn't believe, you know, where I find them at. Like, people on Facebook, like, hey, where do you find this person? Where do you find this person? Instagram, Twitter, you know, those were a lot of people that actually listen in, you know. So I'm like, wow. And somebody had told me that before I started. They said, you know, the people who support you or who are going to come on are going to come from places that, you know, you wouldn't think they would. And it turned out to be true because I wasn't really on Instagram or Twitter like that, you know. And then when I started seeing, like, wow, people are on here really supporting me and want to come on. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll put my focus here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand Instagram. It's a lot of people on there, and you can get your word out there, and they know somebody, and they know somebody. It's like telephone. Everybody knows somebody on there that you don't know all over the globe. And so that's an interesting thing right there. And also, with your book, now tell us, where can we find this book? Where can they get it?
Okay, so it comes out officially July 14th of this year. It's not out yet. It comes out July 14th. They're going to be able to, you know, do it the Kindle way where they can download the ebook or Barnes & Noble, Amazon. All of those outlets will have it. However, we will have a limited edition one that they can only get from me. So in order to contact me, they have to look me up on Instagram. You know, my Instagram name is MZMONIE314, Ms. Monie314. Or they can find me on Facebook under Simone Allen. But I would have the limited edition ones. You won't be able to get those in stores. And those are actually going to have a reflective mirror. So when you hold the book up, it looks like you're taking a selfie. So you can only get
that's a take of selfie. That's what's up. I like that. So we got some more people that's calling in on the line. We're going to go ahead and take these calls. Maybe they'll get a trivia question tonight. We'll never know. All right, so call us. 4-6870. You on air with Tay. Talk to me. Can you hear me?
Yo.
Hello. Hey, what's your name?
This is Dennis, one of your elite members. What's going on, Tay?
What's up, Dennis? Thank you so much for calling in. We got our special guest, Simone Allen, on the line. You got any questions or anything for her you want to ask her tonight?
No, not really. I mean, I like to jump into the sports thing. I'm mad that I'm just now calling in, but every time I ask you for the number, this Kobe ending. So I'm just happy to finally be on live with y'all. How you doing, Miss Lily? How you doing? I heard about your Instagram and everything. I might have to go on there and follow you if I'm able to. I know you probably got 4 million followers or something.
My page is public. Follow me. I'll follow you back.
That's what's up.
See,
I don't
she follows back.
Like
she follows back. Back. She got a book. You might like her book, though, Dennis. You know. It's about self-reflecting. You know how to take a selfie. You're looking at yourself. And also, she's all Chicago everything. You know, she likes the Bulls. You know,
I know
the Blackhawks.
Like the
Bulls.
Yeah, the Blackhawks.
Like, you know, I like. You know, all of them. You know, they're in the playoffs. The Blackhawks. Don't nobody.
Yes, they are.
My Blackhawks. Yes. So Dennis, I'm gonna go ahead and see if you can guess the trivia question for tonight. The pot is $100. Nobody guesses tonight. It goes to $150 next week. I'm gonna keep adding like a lotto. All right. Courtesy of our sponsor, All Hair is Pretty. So the question.
You're back here, boys.
And you got. All right. Is who has the most NBA Finals losses as a player? Come on, give it to
most
me.
Most NBA side of losses as a player. Hey, they were just talking about this on my sports talk radio show. Who did they say?
We got a winner here, y'all. We got a winner here, y'all. Dennis just won him 100 cold ones. Courtesy of Ball Head is Pretty. That's right.
Because they were talking about LeBron, who shoved it back. Mm-hmm. They was just talking about King James, and they said one day he's gonna reach Elgin Baylor if he keeps going out west and taking these smacks across the face. They were like, "How much Elgin got? Like 7, 8, 9, something like that." I'm like, "Man, it's like 8
Elgin
or 9."
Elgin Baylor is 0-for-8 in the NBA Finals. He never won. He's 0-for-8. He has the most out of anybody, the most L's, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's
so,
they were talking about him, Jerry West, everybody talking about, because Jerry West got a lot of them too, but I think he won.
Jerry West
two.
Is up there too. Yeah, Jerry West is actually third. But good guess, man. Good guess. Somebody before you couldn't guess it, but that's all right. You got it. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to get in your inbox. Send me an inbox, and you can go ahead and I can get you your hard-earned money, all right? Here, $100, Richmond. Can I get a dollar, man? Can I get a dollar, man?
I just want a
TT from the dollar menu.
We don't have a lot of our debates and things, definitely when it comes to LeBron, but you are a fellow Cowboy fan, and we've been kicking it since 2012 at that Gus Bar and Grill, which I never walked back in since that Redskin debacle. So you might get a dollar too. You know, I get you a little bottle or something off that card.
All right, that's cool, my brother. Well, thank you so much for calling in. Don't be a stranger to the show. And also make sure you follow Simone and make sure you get her book when it drops this summer. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Peace. Have a good night. Bye bye. All right, next caller, last four, 8037. You on the air with Tay. Holla at me. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I hear you. What's your name?
Oh, this Will. This Will.
What's up, my man?
The Redskins fake fan. The Redskins fake fan. I ain't
I am doing good, man. Thanks so much for calling in. You got the fan captain of the Washington Redskins calling in, Mr. Will Williams. We got a special guest on the line, Ms. Simone Allen. You got any questions or anything for her tonight?
Oh, no, I sure don't. I'm sorry. How you doing, Ms. Simone Allen?
I'm doing great.
What did you do? I didn't get to catch the beginning of the show. I just came on real late, so I didn't know what you promoting today. What you got today? You a bookseller?
Cool.
What you doing
today? I got a new book coming out called How to Take a Selfie. It's a self-reflection book on self-love, finding your identity in Christ, and getting your life together. It comes out July 14th this summer.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good to hear. Yeah, I didn't have no questions. I was just calling in. I ain't get a chance to call in a long time. Just calling in and show some love to Tay Sports Elite and say hi.
I appreciate that. We like that. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you this, you know, about missing. You know, she likes Chicago, you know. And
okay.
You know the Caps are playing, you know, today. You know the Caps, you know. And, you know, the Blackhawks are in the playoffs, too. Now, what do you think? Your Caps. Go do something. Are they going to get knocked out in the first or second round and blow another 3-1 lead? Or, you know, are they going to finally get over the hump?
Well, we ain't got to worry about the first round. They're going to take care of that. It's that second round. I'm a little nervous about them playing the Penguins or the Rangers because for some reason they can't seem to get past those two teams. And it's only those two teams. They beat everybody. They can't beat those two teams. These right now, I see the game is on right now.
I say that because, you know, the Rangers and the Penguins have had y'all numbers, especially last year, you know.
Yeah.
And that second round has just been a mean somebody to y'all. And, you know, the Leafs, y'all playing the Leafs in the first round, you know, they actually have a chance. But in my bracket, I got y'all moving on to the second round. Now, I don't think y'all can mess with my Blackhawks, though. You know, me and Simone, we
right
now. You Blackhawks fans.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Blackhawks is good. I ain't got nothing against them. The Blackhawks is real good. They, I don't know. I ain't worried about them right now.
Y'all got to get to that.
I'm just saying.
The Blackhawks, they, are they in the West? They in the West or the East? Or the West?
Yeah.
Yeah, the West?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Capitals beat them in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I mean, y'all got to get there because, you know, y'all have a team, you know. Y'all ain't got no team like the Blackhawks, you know what I'm saying, Simone? But, you know, y'all got a team.
Well,
y'all got too much talent on that team to not make the Stanley Cup, you know.
They did just win the President's Cup, which goes to the best team in the NHL, you know. I mean,
It does. But that's just like winning a – you know, like the Eagles, you know, always saying, I got banned. Y'all got banned. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Y'all got to get to that cup because y'all got too much talent on that team, I swear. Y'all stacked.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even pay attention to their regular season because they always had the best record in the NHL or the best record in the East, and they always be blowing people out. I wait till the playoffs because I want to see what they're going to do
too.
Against the Penguins and Rangers. That's what I care about.
Me too.
What they're going to do against the Penguins and Rangers.
That's what they need to do because playoff hockey, ladies and gentlemen, is a whole different animal, just like playoff football, whole different animal in the season because everybody set their game up and it's, hey, you win or you going home. You know what I'm saying? But, all right, Brother Williams, I appreciate you calling in. I'm sorry somebody had already called up before you wanted to, you know, the plot for the trivia. But, you know, next week is always going to be a trivia question and we start back over at $50. Somebody don't win it. Just get added to each week so somebody wins. All right? So if you never know, you might be the winner of that cold, hard cash. All right.
All right. Congratulations on your book, Simone. Take care.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. So now I'm going to get into your picks. You know, we talked about this. Who do you think?
Mm-hmm.
All right, who is your NBA MVP choice?
I'm gonna have to go Russ.
Woo! Good choice. Very good choice. That's my choice. Now tell me, you know, you went with Russell Westbrook, you know, because he done broke big O's, you know, triple double record, you know, but you've seen the great things that he's doing out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know. He's doing very well, and I'm with you on that as him as the MVP choice. My second runner-up, I picked James Harden.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, technically,
yeah,
right
I did.
Now, everybody says between those two anyway, so.
Yep, that's who they say. I went Westbrook, and I'm still saying Westbrook. I think if he doesn't win it, he got robbed, and I'm gonna need some answers from somebody, you know. So, the NBA Finals, you know, you got people saying the Cavs is going to the NBA Finals. They saying the Warriors is going to meet them there in the NBA Finals. So, who do you think going? Which two teams going to meet up in the NBA Finals for you?
I'm going to be honest. I don't want to see another Cavs versus Warriors. I don't want to see
that.
That's
my
dream. I really don't.
Me either.
Like, I ain't trying to see
Me
that.
Either.
And because I'm repping Chicago, I'm going to have faith in my team because I know, you know, God can make the unqualified qualified, okay? And I'm praying for my team.
Yep.
So I want to see the Bulls, and then I want to see the Bulls versus, I don't know, I really like the Warriors because I like Steph, but I'm going to need him to go sit down somewhere for a second. I'm going to say the Bulls versus OKC, and I'm going to have faith that God going to carry them, and, you know, it's going to be like some Space Jam up in there, and they quit.
Hey, you know what? I'm hoping that you're right, but, you know, the city of Chicago, we haven't had a championship since the 90s with Jordans. We are hungry for one.
But listen,
you know, that's going to give me
Cubs
a –
if the Cubs can win, so can the Bulls. If the Cubs can do it, I got faith in my Bulls.
Yes, the Cubs can, you know, and they came back down from a, you know, 3-1 lead, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I'm hoping, because that'll give me another reason to fly to Chicago and, you know, just have leisure. But, you know, because that's my second home, y'all just don't understand. But, hey, I'm hoping that it's not another Cavaliers-Warriors NBA Finals. I'm tired of both of the teams. I want to see somebody new. You know, some fresh
blood. I like Warriors. I really do. I like Steph. But, I don't, like you said, we want to see something new. Like, I think we done been there, done that, just dance many times. Like, go sit down. Both of y'all.
Yeah, go sit down somewhere, you know. Because my thing is this, and they got all the hype, but I like the Spurs and I like Houston. I wouldn't mind if they go in and they go. And then I'll tell you the main reason why, as I told your sister last week. The main reason why I don't want the Warriors to go, because I have a friend of mine. His name is Brandon. And people who listen to this show know that he's a jinx. He's the reason why they lost last year in the NBA Finals. And he's going to be the reason why they're going to lose, and I want them to lose because I can keep his jinx streak alive. He picked them again to win all again. And you want to know the even best thing about this is that he was a Laker fan, and he jumped on the bandwagon to the Warriors. So I just want him to lose. That's the main reason why. I don't hate the Warriors. I ain't got nothing against them. Trust me, I don't. It's just that I don't want Brandon to win nothing. No. Because he's a jinx. So if he picks your team to win anything, bet the opposite of him. Trust me. Ask anybody in our group, Sports Elite. They will tell you, do not, you're going to lose your money. Don't pick what he picks.
Oh, poor guy. You know, poor guy.
Yes, poor guy.
Maybe we need to send him to some Cav games or whatever. You know, just go ahead and send him there.
You know, well, you know, he's already he's bet against the Cavs, so that means the Cavs are going to win.
Oh, dang it. No! He messing up.
Yes, I know, right? But one thing, y'all Cavs fan out there, he said the Cavs are going to win the Stanley Cup, so we already know what that means. Ooh, I'm sorry, y'all. I get beside myself when I talk about that because he's a jinx. But let's go ahead and finish talking about your book. All right, so now, do you think you're going to have a sequel to this book?
I actually am going to have, okay, so you actually put some exclusive information here. But I'm actually
going to
do a version for moms and daughters. So it'll be a journal for them that they could do and go through some of these steps. And so you can work with your daughter because it's important to pour into little girls. I have a 7-year-old. She will be 8. My daughter, I actually have a 9-year-old son too. But do you know that by the time a girl reaches 9, she thinks less of herself? That is the standard. Like, she doesn't think that she could do science or she doesn't think she's pretty because by that time somebody would have told her ugly. And I have experiences as a mother. Like, when we moved here, this one little girl, she's a bully. She told my daughter she was ugly. She told her she couldn't be a princess. My daughter is a princess. She's like, you're not a princess. You got to be the witch because you're ugly. And because I had poured into my daughter, she looked at that little girl for a second. She was like, I ain't ugly. I'm a princess. Flipped her hair and walked off. That is because I had already instilled in her that can't nobody tell you nothing. You are a child of God. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on a book just for mothers and daughters so we can pour into our girls so we can save them. So, yeah, there will be a sequel to the book for moms and daughters.
So, wow, so you got a sequel coming out, and I can't wait, you know, to hear about that. But my thing is this right here, I want to know. With the sequel, you know, you got a sequel, and then you're a mother, too. How do you balance, you know, the business side and being a mommy at the same time?
Holy. God, like, I'm not even lying. There are some days where I'm so tired that I fall asleep before my kids. That actually happened, like, 2 days ago. Well, I was so tired because it was such a busy day with meetings and all the projects we have going on and everything, and then they have their very busy lives. But I'm like, but yeah, it really is. It is just God who gives me this grace to be able to handle work. I'm not going to sit here and say it's always easy because it's not, because not only am I a mom, but I'm a single mom. So it can't. There are times where I'm just like, oh, I can't handle this. But God is faithful, and he pulls me back up, and he recharges me. And then now that I'm in Texas, he has built this circle where I have people who help me with my kids. So if I need a break, you know, I'm like, you going to your auntie house, or, you know, the a very close friend of mine who I also do projects with, she'll take them to the park or something, mm-hmm. you know, like, so you just lean on your support. It's okay to need support. You don't got to be no super mom. I actually hate that pressure that society puts on working moms, where there's like, or moms here when they're like, we got to carry all this, and if we cry, we're weak. No, you're not. There are days where I'm crying in the closet, eating some type of ice cream, and my kid's like, let me pray for you. What's going on? Because I'm just like, I was stressed out. And it's like, you don't have to do it all, mom, you know. And so it's okay to take breaks. You need to take breaks, actually. If you don't, you're going to burn out. So just make sure you're taking care of yourself so that you can take care of those you love. And follow your dreams. Just because you're a mom doesn't mean, oh, I can't follow my dreams. There's nothing selfish about following your dreams. Because what you don't know is you're inspiring your kids to always follow theirs.
Mm-hmm. That's good news right there, because I see a lot of women, you know, they're like you. They're just like you. You got your children. You know, you got to be mommy mode. Then you got your business, too. And you got to be the businesswoman. And I've always wondered, because, you know, how do you do it? You know, but like you said, you know, you got to lean on your support. Shoot, I lean on my support, you know, and I don't have any kids. So, you know, it's like, whew, I can only imagine, you know. And I give props to those who have children like yourself and being an entrepreneur and trying to, you know, grow something special, especially something for your kids, you know, to have, to pass down to them when they get older. It's like,
right.
Wow. You know, it's something else. But we go ahead and take this next call. Last 4-6870, you're on the air with Say. Talk to me. Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? I guess not. I'm hanging up. All right. I guess somebody just wanted to call and hear my voice and not say nothing. All right. So we're going to go ahead and keep on moving. Now, what advice do you have to somebody that's out there that's an aspiring writer? What advice can you give them?
I would say take your craft serious. You know, I have been a writer all my life, but I never really took it serious until God started having me write this book. And it's always open avenues for me. Like when I was in high school, I won a free trip to Romania and Paris and how much I wanted to travel. So if you are a writer, and even if you just scribble in your journal, like take that serious. That is a gift. And your story can help somebody else. So I would just say just take your craft serious. That's it. Just take it serious and go after what you want.
Mhm. Wow. So you won stuff off of your writing even back in high school? Did I catch that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I
you
well,
was
like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I won my first trip to Romania. I was a junior. It was actually very competitive. They had opened it to the whole school, even though it was in my AP economics class at first. And I just wrote and expressed how much I wanted to travel, and then they interviewed us. And when they interviewed us, it was funny because they were asking things that I had a whole different meaning for. Like, for example, they said, well, if we let you go, what would you bring us back? Like, what would you bring back for, you know, for the school? And I'm thinking they're talking about actual guilt, but they're talking about, like, what lessons would you learn to teach your other classmates. I was like, whatever you want, you can make a list, and I'll get it for you. Because I was that serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that worked out for me, and they was like, well, you're our number one pick. We're going to send you. And that trip changed my life and opened my eyes. You know, I had always wanted to travel, but to be able to do it. And it was my writing. It was what God had put inside me that allowed me to happen. I was paid in high school to write people papers, to write poetry, break up poetry for people, for their boyfriends. I was in a Who's Who books for my poetry. Like, it opened up so many doors, and I still, even with all that, never took it serious until I started writing this book.
Mhm. Wow. So you never took it seriously. You had the talent. That was something that you was born with, seemed like.
Yeah, I think it was just been the way I was raised. Because, like I said, I was bullied as a kid, and so there were times where I didn't even speak. Like when I say I didn't talk, I stopped talking because I was bullied so severely, and just I was such an oddball in my family. I still am odd, but at the time, like growing up, you know, I'm curvy. My sisters were skinny. I'm dark skin. My sisters were high yellow. So I stuck out. Mm-hmm. Child at the time. I stuck out, and they were like, "What's wrong with this one?" You know. And so I retracted, mm-hmm. and I would read stories, and I would make up plays because I wanted to escape. But I never thought that, hey, this is something that, you know, I can have in my life, like to make income. It was just my way to cope with this world that I just thought was so unfair. And so I created my own world. And I think when pay attention to how you grew up, because a lot of times what the enemy attacks is your very gift. So he attacked in my voice, and you know, but it pushed me because God used that, me being silent, to write these stories, which in turn would be something I would do for the rest of my life. So pay attention to that, because usually your gifts are what's attacked when you're younger, and that's what you're meant to do.
Wow. So with that right there, like you said, I guess I'm going to put myself out there too. When you said that, you know, like you said, you was bullied as a child, you know, you were different, your siblings was light-skinned, you were dark-skinned. I wasn't bullied as a child, but I know I was different, you know, from my brothers and sisters, you know, kind of like you were, but just in a different mm-hmm. way. And people used to say stuff to my mother, you know, like, this child is this, you know, kind of like an outcast of all your other kids. And
mm-hmm.
my mother used to, you know, get mad. No, nothing's wrong with my kids, you know, trying to keep that negativity away, you know, from her children, you know, at that young of an age. And, you know, you hear
mm-hmm.
it. And like you said,
you
know.
Oh, you hear it. They think you don't, but you do.
Yeah, you hear it. You know, and I'm thinking, like, you know, and I would ask her, you know, Mama, am I different? You know, and she was like, no, you're not. You're no different than your brothers or your sisters. And, of course, in the back of my mind, I'm wondering why all these other people saying that I'm different.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, I look at it. Everybody's different in their own way, but not in that negative way that they try to say. You know, we were raised all the same. And so that
right.
when you hit on that kind of hit with my own personal situation out there, because, you know, if it wasn't for my grandmother's praying for us and my mother protecting us and my father protecting us, I could have got some, you know, hit home with that a long time ago, and who knows where I would have been if I would have let that get to me, you know.
Right.
But as she said, we y'all all the same. Don't let nobody say that you're different than this one or you're better than this one. Just like the twin. You know, you can't buy one for one twin, as she said, and don't buy one for the other twins. You know, they're together. They're packed. They're one. And I never
mm-hmm.
understood that until I try to see people try to favoritism twins or kids. You know, and I'm like, what? That's some type of inside
yeah.
bullying to me. You know, that's psychological. That can mess with somebody. You're right. It does.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about that. So the next one I want to get into, we got a few more minutes left in the show. Wow, time is flying today.
Yeah.
I know you say about your, you know, a lot today you mentioned about your faith. And
mm-hmm.
now, you know, I'm a believer, and I know we probably have a lot of more believers just listening to us. Now, you say you didn't start writing until you put God in it.
Right.
And some places, you know, I remember Tyler Perry's story. He said that he wouldn't take write a sign with a TV deal for his plays unless they let him bring God with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with you, did you have a hard time, you know, getting any type of promotions? Because some, you know, there's some people out there that doesn't want you to put God with you. Kind of like Steph Curry with his shoes. He wanted to put
mm-hmm.
the Bible verse 3:16 on his shoes. Nike wouldn't let him, but Under Armour would. You know, did you have to face that dilemma?
I have had to face that, not in my writing, but in other, like, as part, like I said, I'm an entrepreneur, so in my other business, or just things, opportunities have been given to me where I've had to turn down because they're like, oh, you can do it, but you can't mention God. And I'm never offended by that because my answer is always the same, who am I without God? like you, the person that you love, the person that you want to interview or you want me to volunteer or whatever, that personality that you love comes from God himself. Because believe me when I say I was broken. I was toxic. I was bitter. Like, you don't want to see that
mm-hmm.
girl. That girl was ugly. She felt and looked ugly because she
mm-hmm.
believed what people told her. You don't want that girl. You want this beautiful woman that you see who you feel like, oh, you're confident. Oh, you have self-love. Oh, who do you think that came from? Because it wasn't me. Who do you think molded me into this? Who do you think broke down that negative foundation and rebuilt me? That was him.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have this person without him. And if you don't want him, you can't have me.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because just like he gave it to you, he can take it away. You know, and I commend you, you know, for not, you know, for not backing down from, you know, your demands of, hey, he's coming with me. Because you never know. You know, you turn your back on him, all this stuff can crumble. And
you deny me in front of your friends, I will deny you in front of my father. Like, God, does he love? Yeah, but is he not still a judge? Like, that man can open up the ground and eat me. I ain't scared of you. I'm scared of him. I'm not playing with my dad, okay?
Yep.
He don't play about me. I'm his child. I'm his daughter. There is no game when it comes to his love for me. And so how dare I, because I got to this level of success, turn my back on him who lifted me up and gave me this promotion, because our promotions don't come from the world.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from God, unless you allow the world to promote
mm-hmm.
you. That's a whole different topic. But the point is, if you allow him to promote you, how dare you turn back on him because you don't want to lose something? That's something that Christians, we do a lot in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to lose this prize because – oh, we won it. We feel like we worked for it. You didn't do nothing, okay? I tell people all the time, I'm not that creative. As creative you think I am, I'm really not. When I have an idea, God will take that idea, smash it into little pieces, and give me something better, okay? It's not me.
Mm-hmm.
It's him. So how dare I forget where I came from or who my dad is? Because what you don't know is you're not going to get in trouble for not listening. I'm going to get in trouble because he told me. I ain't trying to get
yep.
with you. That hurt. Like that.
Yeah, you don't know about it going that. I don't know with you. That's right. That's right. And you gotta keep carrying. What got you there with you? You know, because this ain't your journey. This is his journey, and he's using
exactly.
you as the mouthpiece to get a certain word and to reach, you know, certain people that he's trying to reach. You know, for to get that message to them. You know, so you gotta keep going with that. So one more time, tell everybody where they can. Where they can reach you, when the book come out, and where they can get the book at.
Awesome, awesome. So, guys, you can follow me on Instagram at MsMonie314. That's MsMonie314. That's my Instagram and Twitter name. If you look me on Facebook, you can look me up under Simone Allen. And the book comes out July 14th this summer. You will be able to order it off of Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the major outlets. However, if you want the limited edition copy where you can actually see yourself in the book, hint, hint, you will have to get those from me.
That's right. Well, I'm going to be in touch with you because I want a copy of the book for myself, you know, and I hope I get a little special, you know, get your little signature on it. But, you know, that's another thing.
Yeah, definitely.
I want the book, you know, because I want to get help, too, because I believe, you know, that could help me in my life, you know. He ain't done
awesome.
With me yet.
Yeah,
so
it'll help everybody.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah, definitely help
everybody.
Everybody, you know, and I'm excited to read it because, you know, I really want to see what's in it, you know, what kind of word that'll jump out to me that I could use in my life, and I'm excited for you. I'm happy that you're going out there and you just putting really, like you said, you opened up, you putting situations out there that's probably, you know, you wouldn't want to share, but you shared it, you know, so I'm proud of you for that. Because a lot of people wouldn't do that.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So you're welcome on anytime with us. I thank you so much for coming on Sports Elite, you know, talking a little sports, talking about your book, you know, talking to our fans. I appreciate that. And so anytime you want to come on here and talk with me, you're welcome, okay?
Also, so nice having you on the show. I loved it. It was so much fun. I can't wait to work with you again.
Oh, yeah, definitely so much so. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's another episode of Sports Elite. Y'all make sure y'all tune in next week at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have another guest that's coming on. Same time, same channel. Holler at me next week, ladies and gentlemen. Peace.
Bye.
Yeah.